Houston, we have a problem. Our treasure, aka our material and financial wealth, has our heart. As women living in a very uncertain world, with who knows what coming down the line financially, politically, biologically, environmentally, we often grasp for whatever we think will keep us safe when things come crashing down. Our savings accounts, our investments, even material goods. Now, those things may make us feel secure in the moment, and they may get us through a few storms, but they certainly won't last long, and one day will be no longer. Because one day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and none of the things we spent time storing up in this life will go on with us, nor compare to the immense treasure that we have stored up in heaven. But even though we may know what the Bible teaches about treasure and security, we still often use our time and live like this world is all there is, seeking to find our peace in what it offers. All the while, our desire for security and financial gain get more and more of our heart, until we're ready to walk away from his call, or worse, we can't even hear it over the noise of all we've accumulated. So, what is treasure on earth? What is treasure in heaven? And what does this have to do with you and me as busy Christian women juggling all the things in midlife and business in this insecure world? I'm so glad you asked, and I invite you to listen in to identify if security or wealth has your heart and where you can find true security that lasts. Did you know busy is not just a disordered calendar or to-do list? It's a disordered heart. And a well-ordered life flows from a well-ordered heart that's focused on Him. Welcome to the Redeem Her Time podcast, the go-to place for busy Christian women juggling all the things in midlife and business, from launching kids to aging parents, caring for your needs to serving your clients, investing in relationships to serving in your community. Oh, and keeping up with the laundry, the dishes, and the dirty floors. Honestly, it's a lot to balance. No wonder you feel like you never have enough time. All the time management gurus out there will tell you you just need to get more organized. And chances are you've tried all the things, the planners, the programs, the All Start Monday plans, but they never worked, at least not for very long. That's because those don't get to the heart of your busyness. Here, you'll learn how to build a with God life and business and go from busyness to fruitfulness in this season. And it starts in your heart, not in your calendar. Hey, I'm Lissa, Christian time management expert, priorities protector, and recovering should-do list girl. I've been leading, teaching, and coaching Christian women for over 25 years, and I've been right where you are, controlled by all the shuns, expectations, obligations, and distractions. But then, God showed me how to redeem my time with faith at the center to let who I am and whose I am guide how I use my time. I'm here to share with you how to use His truth along with time management tools to discover you really do have all the time you need for what you're called to. You just need someone to show you the way. Open up your heart and calendar because I'm going to show you how to redeem your time and stop believing there's never enough. Are you ready? Friend, if ever you think you don't have enough in your bank account or in your home, you need only look up and notice that compared to most of the world, we are among the wealthiest in the world. I know that may be hard to believe, and it was for me too, especially while looking over the deck at the guest house in Antigua at the 300-foot-tall masts on the yacht that sat in English Harbor. Rumor has it, Jeff Bezos's yacht was there the day before we arrived. And as we walked down the road alongside this harbor, we very quickly could turn our heads and see evidence of those who were not in that same tax bracket, not even close. Now, I don't know if you've been to another country and actually ventured outside of the fence of those all-inclusive resorts, but if you have, or if you do, you will quickly see the rest of the world lives very differently. And this is what I too have experienced on our trips to Central Asia. You see, even in the capital city, where most of our time has been spent, there are no sprawling lawns or even many two-story houses. The people are either crammed into high-rise apartment buildings with nearly 1 million bodies in one small area, and the women still go outside to cook osh in large pots over a fire and bake their naan, their bread, in large kilns outside. Or They are living inside what looks closer to a compound with concrete or mud walls and individual rooms around an exterior opening to a central courtyard. Yes, you have to walk outside to go from the living room to the kitchen or from the bedroom to the bathroom, including at night. And inside these compounds are not just a mom, dad, and a couple of kids, but generations living together. Now, you'd think that without large homes or much stuff to fill the small ones they have and little in their bank accounts, that these people would be sad, but they aren't. As we walk the streets and alleys, children are playing ball in the street while mothers or older sisters stand huddled nearby in conversation, keeping an eye on the younger ones. Do you remember those days growing up before everyone pulled right up into the garage and closed the door before getting out of the car and then immediately went inside the house? And they smile and greet everyone who passes. I'm sure some of it is seeing Westerners and wondering if they might get some handouts. But even if not, the joy is in the living, not in the having. And the things they do have, they hold on to and treasure and care for, where over here in that condition, it already would have found its way to the dump. So these women we're supporting, the ones making beautiful bags to sell for a few dollars to support their family's basic needs, they don't expect to get rich, just to have what they need to know they're secure, that they have food to put on the table, clothes to put on their bodies, and a roof, albeit one that leaks, over their heads. And for that, they are thankful. But just like the rest of us, even when they do have more in their hands than they once did, none of it will give them lasting security. For either someone will take it or something will destroy it. And none of it will go with them when they die. Their treasures on Earth, although a much smaller pile than ours, will just be treasures on Earth. And that is why the organization that we are partnering with, Helping Hands, is also seeking to get the Bible in their language into their hands and hearts, and sending teams of those who know the language and culture to go out into the city or into the villages to sit on the ground and share a cup of tea and the good news about Jesus, that he is the one that secures their future and gives them peace in the here and now, and that is will bring true lasting joy for eternity. All of that takes money and people, and so God is opening doors for us, the Redeem Her Time community, to come alongside this organization, to support them financially, prayerfully, even physically, to provide what these women need to build a with God life and business. So, will you help me help them? Sometimes I feel like a broken record, making the same request over and over the past few weeks, and I will for the next few weeks until I leave. But this is too important to not ask out of any discomfort I may feel about how you feel about me asking yet again. So today, I am asking once again for you to help me help them by simply leaving a review of this podcast and how it's helped you build a with God life and business. Or if you've already done that, then you can share as many times as you'd like this podcast with someone you know who might be blessed, challenged, and moved to action too. In that case, take a screenshot of the post or text you send and share it inside the Redeemer Time community. And for each one that happens, I will be giving an additional $5 to the funds that are going with me. Let's help them not only have treasures of earth that will sustain them in their day-to-day, but access to the treasures of heaven through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And before we dive into our hearts around our security and our financial and material wealth, I want to address something that often comes up for us as Christian women building businesses here on earth. Is it wrong for me to charge and make an income for the work God has called me to? And the next question that often comes up, is it wrong to have a successful business that creates six figures or more in income? No and no. But unlike the world around us that finds its security and business success in account balances, ultimately, the worth of our work is not in what gets deposited in the bank, but what gets deposited in heaven. And yet, in the meantime, we need to remember that any increase in income is a direct reflection of our increase in service and impact, because whether through our products or services, we are making a difference in the lives of others. So yes, set financial goals for your business, and yes, work towards selling that next bag of healthy shake mix, that amazing cup of coffee, that transforming coaching program, but don't let that be where your treasure and security is found. More on that in a minute. But maybe a lot of income isn't your problem right now. Maybe you're that business owner who's been working your business for far too long to not be seeing consistent money rolling in, and you're frustrated, exhausted, and lost for how things will ever change. I get it. As I shared in the last episode, I worked really hard for really long with little to nothing to show for it. But when God showed me how to stop doing it in my own strength, with my own wisdom, and start partnering with Him and what He wanted to do in me and through my business, everything changed so fast that I knew it wasn't because of me. And my bank account started growing exponentially. So, whichever camp you find yourself in, whether you're that entrepreneur bringing in lots of income already and you want to invest it in kingdom growth, or you're that solopreneur in the red, deciding that if this doesn't start turning a profit, you might need to go back to working for someone else, I want to invite you to apply to the Redeemed Midlife CEO, because yes, you will access the system and support to build a with God business that's continuing to increase in impact and income. But you'll also find we're not about storing up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven, because that is where the true fruitfulness lies. So, want to know more and see if this might be a fit for you and help you build the life and business you're called to with the time He's given you? Just complete an application, and once approved, I will be in touch. You can find it at redeemhertime.com/coaching or click the link in the show notes. I can't wait to see the business He has in store for you that will have kingdom impact not only on your life, but also in the lives of those you serve. Speaking of treasures on earth and in heaven, where are you finding your security lately? Regardless of your stage of life or bank account balance or business, we all long to feel secure in our relationships, our health, our financial plans, our homes. We have passwords, Lord knows too many, to protect our personal information. We have alarm systems to protect our personal possessions. We even have alerts on our phones to warn us of incoming weather or a crash in the market. We sleep better at night knowing that all our things are secure, or at least we think we do. But what is it that wakes you up or keeps you up at night? Probably something that feels unsure in one of those areas you're trying really hard during the day to shore up. That's because nothing is fully secure in this world. Now, if you know me in real life, you know I'm married to a guy for whom security is a high priority. No wonder he's a cop and out keeping people safe by getting the bad guys off the road and helping those who are stranded on the side of it. He also listens to a lot of news and thinks about what we need to have stockpiled in case things go south. Let me just say, you are welcome to add yourself to the list of people already lined up to come bunker down at the figgy farm if war breaks out or the government goes crazy, because they know my hubby is prepared. Speaking of bunkers, as we speak, there's a drawing of the underground bunker he wants to build on our property on the refrigerator right now. So that way, we will have a safe and secure place to go if things really get bad. Some days, I just shake my head and wonder how his mind thinks about all things security. You see, I assume the best in things until they actually change. He assumes the worst until he decides something else is more of an imminent danger. But I will say, I feel pretty secure living here at the Figgy Farm and going with him out into town. Not that we do that much living in a rural community. But even with all his prepping and stockpiling and storing up, there's no way he can anticipate every possible threat, nor will he ever put to use even a fraction of all he's got ready. Now, please hear me in this. I love my hubby dearly, and I know that God has given him a keen sense that many don't have, which is why he runs the security team at our church too. But it's a lot of storing up treasures on earth that will rust, will rot, or will run out. And then where will we be? At the store, buying up more. Now, there's nothing wrong if you want to make sure your bills are paid, your roof doesn't leak, your health is in a good place, and your relationships are solid, as well as your business on a good track. But where we run into an issue is when we turn these things into our ultimate things, when we ignore or abandon the promises of God and instead find our security in what we've stored up when we're feeling or anticipating an attack. As More Than Anything says, true security cannot be found within ourselves or even in the ways we might be tempted to find it in our earthly treasures. True security, what is that? And earthly treasures, what? Jesus talks about treasures on earth in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So true. Where our heart turns for security shows what we treasure. And it's often the things we can see, feel, and touch. Because for some reason, that makes us feel more secure. When our pastor addressed this in his sermon on this passage a few months ago, he pointed out the things of this world are guaranteed to be touched by one of two things: decay, aka moth and rust, or depravity, thieves who break in and steal. So no matter how much we try to waterproof, airproof, lightproof our stuff or our bank accounts, they will eventually be destroyed by one or the other. And let's be honest, there's no U-Haul at the end of a hearse, so we can't take it with us, and we can't control what those we leave it to do with it, as it says in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 18 through 23. Listen to this. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. For my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all his toil and anxious striving with which he labors? All his days are work and pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. Yep, storing up treasure on earth, especially so we'll feel secure, is meaningless, aka a waste of time. And yes, it is keeping us up at night. So what about treasures in heaven? What are those? Well, I'm so glad you asked. As Jesus said in Matthew 6, those aren't touched by decay because they are truly safe from any disintegrating agent. And they're also not touched by depravity because they are truly secure from any sinful man or woman's actions. They are what will last. Like what, Lissa? Well, like eternal life, joy, peace, love, wisdom, hope, faith, grace, salvation. No amount of rust, mold, or moths, or any nefarious individuals can ever touch that. So, why don't we just seek after those things and find our security in what will truly last? Because in the meantime, our money and possessions, aka our wealth, has our heart more than God. This is utterly clear in the story of the rich young ruler we talked about in episode 216. We kicked off this whole Above All Else series around lesser things that rule our hearts. He approaches Jesus with, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" AKA, "What do I need to do to be in your kingdom?" And did you notice that there too, Jesus mentions the treasures of earth and in heaven? Listen carefully to Luke 18:22 through 27. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom." You see, it wasn't about going through all the external motions of the last six commandments, focusing on his heart toward others. Those only genuinely flow from a heart that embraces the first four commands, to love God only and fully and rightly. With a heart transformed by the Lord first, then we can let go of the hold that treasure has on our heart. And then we can have treasure in heaven, aka a place in the kingdom, because then we are free to not just see Jesus as a good teacher, but to see him as our savior. But in this man's case, he couldn't fathom giving up his wealth to give Jesus his heart. What I didn't realize is that in that time, wealth was seen as a sign of God's favor. So he legit thought he already had it. No wonder it was so hard to put down. Not just because of what others would think, but because of what it would reveal about his own heart, that he was not loving God with all of it. You see, what he could not see was that God's blessings are not earthly possessions, but eternal salvation. And he could never do enough or even give away enough to earn God's favor, both in this life and the life to come, because it's a free gift of grace. All he asks is that we remove the lesser things that have our heart and put him on the throne, aka love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we can love our neighbor as ourselves. Those who heard it nearby said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Again, here is a verse often taken out of context. With God, all things are possible is not about doing hard things. It's about the ability to let go of lesser things in order to fully surrender our heart to Him. Because girl, you and me both, and honestly, every other human on the planet, cannot do this dethroning idols thing on our own. Whether it's our busyness, or our comfort, or our control, or our self-sufficiency, or our people-pleasing, or our work, or our security, or material, or financial wealth, we can't let go by ourselves. But if we want any lesser things to no longer have a hold on our heart, we need to stay close to Jesus so He can do the work and not walk away like this man. Great, Lissa. I need to let go of the hold security and wealth has in my heart. So what exactly does that have to do with my life and business? Good question, and one I'm still wrestling with too. As with all of these idols of the heart, in and of themselves, they aren't wrong. It's just when they have the wrong place in our thoughts, beliefs, and motivations. When we idolize security or wealth, we take our eyes off Jesus and walk away, especially when we feel like it's being taken away from us. Where do you turn when your world gets rocked because a relationship ends, you get a diagnosis, or your income stream dries up? Do you turn inward or outward or upward? Where do you store up treasure when you anticipate something could or might be coming down the pike that could threaten your plan for the future to enjoy your current season of life or retirement? Do you turn inward or outward or upward? Are you building up walls or bigger barns or going underground hoping that they will make good on their promise to protect your precious things? Or are you, with a heart of faith and assurance, loosening your grip and trusting your life and business and financial and material wealth into His hands, no matter what storms are brewing or blowing around you? You see, when we let go of our lesser things, He leads us safely by the hand through the wind and the waves of life and business to arrive at eternity's shore. And when we dethrone the idols of our possessions, we find the greatest treasure in Jesus Christ Himself. And yet, we still live in a world that requires money and houses and cars and clothes and full cupboards and computers and phones and bank accounts and savings and investments. So we faithfully steward what we've been given, trusting that if we don't feel like we have enough, that He will provide. And if we feel like we have plenty, that He will call us to share it to provide for others. Now, I almost missed the truth God really wanted me to hear. And you might need to hear this too in this story. You see, I was all set to record this podcast today, but just this morning, wouldn't you know, my Bible reading plan had me in Mark 10, the story of the rich young ruler. And as I read further into the context of what happened next, this stood out to me in flashing red lights. Let me read it to you and see if you hear what I heard. Mark 10, 28 through 31 says, "Peter began to say to him, 'See, we have left everything and followed you.' And Jesus said, 'Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first.'" Did you hear it? Letting go is what produces the fruit. 100-fold. That's the same as the harvest of seed planted in the good soil. And that is a miraculous harvest, because not even the best farmer in the world can make that happen on his own. You see, this is what I believe God wanted me to see. It's not just about laying down the temporal for the eternal. It's about walking with God in both life and business, in complete surrender, trusting in both His provision in the here and now, as well as for eternity to come. That is truly having a heart that follows Jesus, and not the lesser things we try to carry along with us. Do you trust His provision and desire His salvation above all else, even good things on this earth? I've cried more tears in the past few weeks than I have in a long time as He asks if I will do this exact thing in a situation in my life. And by faith, I'm laying down the lesser things to focus on Him, the greater thing, and let Him direct the outcome. That, my friend, is why we continue to faithfully use our time and resources to build a successful business with Him. Because if it all belongs to Him, and if it's all in His hands, He can do great things in us and through us. We just may be willing to give it away, to follow His call on our lives, because unlike another often misquoted verse on this topic, it's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So as we build our businesses with God, are we open to Him asking the questions to do a heart check for us? Are we open to having other like-minded women who are also building businesses for His glory to speak into our lives? I hope so, because that's how we keep from getting distracted by all the shiny objects around us that are just going to rot or rust or get robbed. Speaking of which, if you've come to embrace the reflection questions for each idol, here are a few on security. In what ways are you tempted to idolize security? How might you be tempted to take your eyes off Jesus and focus on earthly things as your security? How does Jesus promise greater security in Himself than the world could ever offer you? And here are a few financial and material wealth questions. In what ways might you be tempted to idolize wealth and possessions? How do worldly treasures compare to eternal treasures in Christ? And in what ways can you grow in treasuring your relationship with Christ more than anything, including your business? If you're ready and willing to be open and honest and held accountable to loving Him above all else, here is today's community question. What is one thing you will do to store up treasures in heaven this week? Come, get inspired and encouraged to not just say it, but live it one day at a time. If it's your first time, you can find us at redeemhertime.com/community or click the link in the show notes. And you know the drill. While you're here, click on leave a review and share how this podcast is helping you store up treasures in heaven through how you invest your time in both your life and business, and help me help them. And if you're ready to lay down the lesser things that are distracting you from truly building a with God business, one that results in abundant fruitfulness in both impact and income, I invite you to visit redeemhertime.com/coaching and submit your application to the Redeemed Midlife CEO, or just click the link in the show notes. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever felt it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than to live a life in business that puts him first, let me remind you and me, we can't do it alone. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and humbly admit that far too often we are the rich young ruler. We're willing to walk away from your call on our life because our security and wealth have too high of a place in our hearts. We spend too much of our time storing up treasures on earth that will one day rust, rot, or be robbed, rather than looking to store up what will last into eternity with you as treasure in heaven. Thank you that you don't leave us in our idolatry, but you see our hearts and you call us to yourself. May we respond to that call and let go of what we think makes us safe and trust that our money will never love us back nor give us a secure hope for the future, but you will. And so we look to you and we respond to your invitation to walk with you as we build our lives and businesses for your glory. We cannot wait to see all that you have in store for us in heaven, where we will spend eternity with you, the greatest treasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, friend, I will see you over inside the Redeem Her Time community where we'll talk more about this. Thanks for joining me for this episode. And until next time, remember, instead of chasing time on a clock, trying to control it, receive the gift of time from the one who truly holds it. Because as his daughter, you have time. Hey, before you go, I pray this episode blessed you, challenged you, and moved you to take action. So, what was the one thing God showed you today? I'd love to hear. So would you take a minute to leave a review on Apple Podcasts? It makes my heart smile, and that way I know you're liking the show. And it helps other busy Christian women, just like you, find real life answers too. Speaking of which, grab the link and share this with someone you know that's been praying for a breakthrough. And don't forget to come join the after party inside the Redeem Her Time community. We're not just about knowing, we're about doing together. Head on over to redeemhertime.com to join the community, leave a question to be featured on the podcast, schedule a free 15-minute strategy session, or all the above. Of course, I'll drop the link in the show notes because I know you're a busy girl. Look carefully then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:15-16. I'll see you in a few days, friend. God bless.